Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Beseech thee, give ear to our prayers and lighten the darkness of our hearts by thy gracious visitation, who livest and reignest with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Confessional reading this morning from Luther's small catechism, as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The second petition, thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself. But we pray in this petition that it may come unto us also. How is this done? When our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. Our Old Testament reading this morning from the book of Malachi, Prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Here ends our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through verse 5. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing for the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Here ends our epistle reading. Gospel reading for this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, reading from verses 2 through verse 10. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which you do and see, which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Here ends our reading of the gospel. We confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man,
text this morning is the gospel reading, Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verses 2. And I would like at this time to read verses 2 through 6. When John had heard in prison about the work of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Please be seated. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. We don't always think of him that way, but of course that's what he is. The New Testament isn't around yet, and he is the last of the Old Testament prophets proclaiming the coming of the Christ in the New Testament. I think he's the last and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. His birth is announced by the angel Gabriel. He is said to come to prepare the way for the promised Messiah. He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, says Gabriel, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so he came. Matthew writes, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And he lived and preached in what you might call the style, I suppose, of the prophet Elijah. He was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And he pointed to the coming one. He said, 'I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.'" And John tells us, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John, powerful preacher of repentance, pointing the way to Christ. No uncertain terms. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he goes on, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Fearless prophet of the Lord. To King Herod, he calls repentance, or Herod's adultery with his brother's wife. Herod threw him in prison. And now it's about a year in prison already. And he hears about the works of Jesus and sends two disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the coming one? Or shall we look for another?" People debate whether it's actually John who is wavering here, or is it his disciples? And he sends them to Jesus to strengthen their faith. I suggest it doesn't really matter which
it is.
And I think probably both. I agree with Martin Frontzman, who writes in the Concordia Self-Study Commentary
about this.
He says, our man's, that is our human, desire to impose his will on God. John's question is the mildest example
of that desire.
Even he,
imprisoned now and helpless,
wavers concerning the deeds of Christ. And his question suggests that Jesus ought to fulfill John's prophecy of the mightier one who comes with spirit and fire and executes judgment now when John expects it and as John expects it. John's doubt or his disciples?
Does it really matter?
Isn't it that desire to impose our will on God what the common human state is? Is that not what we call original sin? When life gets hard, financial problems, failing health, pain and anger and troubled relationships with others, when death comes to those we know and love, don't we all, like John and his disciples, question the works of Christ in our lives? Aren't we troubled by man's desire to impose his will on God? Jesus sends the disciples back to John, reminding him and them of the Old Testament scriptures, the written word of God. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I had a long list of Old Testament prophecies that he's referring to here being fulfilled. I'll read just one from Isaiah. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the dumb sing. The deeds of the Christ, he points out, are in reality the acts of God, which God has promised for the last days. God is present in Jesus and is indeed he who is to come. He is the promised Lord and Savior. Jesus turns John and his disciples from the wavering doubt that comes from relying on their own ideas of what and when the promised Christ's works should be. He turns them to the Word of God, the written word in the Old Testament prophets. For us, he has provided not only that Old Testament word in the prophets, but the word of the evangelists and, evangelists and apostles of the New Testament. In the Gospels, the writings of the evangelists, he records his deeds and his teaching, the works of Christ, summarized in the Gospels in the best verse I could think of from our text, in the words of Christ to John's apostle. disciples. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The evangelists record his teachings. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The apostles in the New Testament explain the Lord's purpose in his coming. Paul writes, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. He also writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The wages of our sin he has paid for us, suffering on the cross. To Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who lies dead in his tomb, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The Apostle Paul, writing about many of the things that lead us to question the works of Christ in our lives. Things like tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, things that tempt us to question the works of Christ. Paul says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Blessed are they who are not offended because of him. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls. We pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for the children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you
for the remission of sins. This do as often as you eat it in remembrance of me."
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
take any drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. Body of Christ.
to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.